You can turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 20. Chapter 28 and verse 20, Matthew 28:20. We're going there because it's about the Great Commission. The Great Commission. You've heard those words before, right? The Great Commission. But do you know what it is? What is the Great Commission? We should know because it's pointed to us. Yes, it's pointed to us. And when was it given? Do you know when it was given? Do you know to whom it was given? Yeah, see, you need to be studying up on the scriptures to know these things, right? Well, today we're going to learn about the Great Commission. Do you think it's still in effect?
Yes.
Well, I guess if you know what it is, those of you that know, yes, it's still in effect. We're going to look at that. The Great Commission is the Lord's commandment. It's a commandment to believers, to all believers. It's what He wants us to do. It's His desire for us. And it's to His apostles and disciples, and He says to them to go into all the world and share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what the good news is. The good news is I am freed from my burden of sin. I don't owe that sin debt any longer. The Lord has paid that debt for me. Here's what it says in Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. He's talking about His apostles, and there may have been some disciples there. This is after His resurrection. He told them to go to a certain place, and I will meet you there. And they both kept what that was supposed to be. They both fulfilled that in showing them in that place. So He met them there and He said this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, bar none, lies in Jesus Christ. And He went on to say, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the Godhead, isn't it? That's the entirety of the Godhead. That is the God we worship. The three in one. That is God Almighty. The Godhead. And then He went on in verse 20 to say, this is your mission, teaching them, the nations, to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the Great Commission. Is it still in effect? Yes, it is. We all have a responsibility to follow Jesus and His desire to save the world. That's what He wants to do. Amen? So shortly after His resurrection, He commissioned 11 men, His apostles. 12 minus 1, right? And I don't think they had elected number 12 again yet. They hadn't replaced Him. But He tells these 11 apostles to go and tell the truth about Me, Jesus Christ. Tell them My story. The power of eternal life is in My story. That's what they need to hear. That's what we all need to hear. And praise God, you have all claimed that you heard it and responded to it positively by trusting Jesus. And you regard Him as your Savior. Praise the Lord. It is estimated that there were between, get this, at this time in the world, between 250 to 300 million people Not billion, million. Well, let me give you something to compare that to. In the United States right now, there's about 350 million. So in the whole world, there was about the same amount as living in the United States right now. That has changed, hasn't it? That's about 3,000 to 1 in a ratio for each apostle to contact. Here's your job, boys. Go out and contact 3,000 people and tell them the good news. Quite a daunting challenge, right? So what did they do? Those 11 men got busy and they went. They went along the trade routes that were known back then. The trade routes went from east to west, and they passed through most of the known world at that time. And they shared the gospel of Jesus as they went. They also went into some of the big cities and spoke the word there. Went into the places where people gathered who wanted to know about God. People wanted to know about God because you know what? They didn't have all the luxuries of life that we have now. They had to tote water, many of them, go down to the well, the city well, get some water and bring it back. You ever tote gallons of water? Gets pretty heavy, doesn't it? You have to take a break every now and then. But they accepted the challenge and they went and gave the gospel. Did they not? They did. They were obedient. Today, we have over 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion people in the world. That's billion with a B. Is the Great Commission still in effect? Does Jesus expect us to go and try to reach 8 billion people?
Yes.
Yes, he does. He does. And it's an exponential proposition, isn't it? How many people have you told the good news and told them they need Jesus Christ the Savior? And then somewhere along the line, maybe not right at that moment, but somewhere they believed it and called on the Lord to save them. And now they're part of the going and telling. So everyone that accepts Jesus becomes part of the army of the Lord that goes and shares the gospel. You think we can reach 8 billion people before he comes back? That's the goal, right? That's kind of our mission. So right now, there's more than, now here's the sad news, okay? There's more than 3.2 billion people in the world that have not been reached with the gospel.
Wow.
Over 3 billion. And of course, there are groups working on that, right? Now that number is according to the Joshua Project. And the Joshua Project is an evangelical Christian organization based in Colorado Springs. And they seek to coordinate the work of missionary organizations. And they are gathering and tracking the ethnic groups of the world with the fewest followers of Christ. They want to know how many more, how many more, how many more. You know, one thing I didn't look up, but the thought crosses my mind now. I wonder how many are born every day new into the world. And how that number would compare with the number of salvation requests, right? Are we making gains or losing ground? That'd be an interesting number to find out, wouldn't it? So they track this worldwide to see how we're doing. There are more than 7,000 unreached people groups. Well, what's a people group? It could be a language group or a cultural group within a country, right? Just because people are in a country, especially out in countries where they're not real organized or it's a very vast territory, there's people in that country, but they don't follow the government exactly, do they? They have their own lifestyle, their own culture, they follow it, right? One thing they're not following is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet we have this commandment. Go and tell. And so we're trying to reach these unreached people. The Lord wants those people to hear His gospel. Do you believe that? If they don't hear it, what's going to happen to them? Wow, that's very negative. They don't hear it, no hope. Listen, I take the positive track, and I think somehow, some way, the Lord is going to allow them to hear the message. I don't think He's going to condemn them without ever even hearing anything. He's too merciful, too loving, too kind for that. Can we give the Lord credit for that? Yeah. Of course we can. He'll give them a choice. Now, that's my personal opinion. I haven't searched the Scripture to see if I can bear that out, but you can do it now. All right? So it's a tall order to reach all those people. That's a very tall order. Who's on our side to help us? Yes, the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't leave us orphans. He said, I'm going, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you, encourage you, empower you to do the mission. He knew what He was doing, didn't He? He has a plan. It's the plan of the Godhead. Somebody open that door and tell him, well, let's let him in now. The plan of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they all agree. We want people to be saved. And they are on our side. They have a plan. There's three parts to the plan. The mission, which we have an idea of now, don't we? The commission, which we're going to talk about. If you're not familiar with what a commission is, you'll find out. And the authority on which we are to go. Now, a mission refers to a specific task or duty assigned by someone, usually a person in authority, right? So the mission is you are going to be going to do something for the Lord. A commission, a little bit different, is the act of a higher authority officially authorizing someone to perform specific duties. I was commissioned as pastor of this church. We might have other words for it, but basically that's what happened. People in the military service are sometimes commissioned to a higher rank to do certain things that they didn't have to do before. So a commission is a higher authority telling us, this is your assignment. This is what I want you to go do. Go take care of it. So we have their authority. And that's the third part of this. Authority is the power and the right to direct, decide, and facilitate success. So the person in authority is going to do all they can do to have success for the mission. Does that make sense? A little drawn out, but I think it does. A mission. We're going to look at the mission first. A little different order than what is laid out there in the Scripture, but it's still the Scripture. So you can look back now at verse 19 in chapter 28. We just read it. We're going to read it again. We're looking at the mission, the specific task, which is what? Make disciples and baptize them. Make disciples and baptize them. Verse 19 says this, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's a little more impactful. Some Bible manuscripts leave out the word therefore. And that word therefore just means because of this. But they leave it out. What's the because of? What's the cause of this? It's the gospel. The gospel, the Lord wants the gospel to go out because the Lord wants this to be done. He's calling on us to do it. He's calling on believers in Him that say, yes, I believe in You and I'll serve You. Like you just did. You just said, I'll serve You, Lord Jesus. I'm partaking of Your body, Your sacrifice. I'm partaking of the power of Your blood to do this. I'm going to serve You. And now I'm equipped. I'm born again. And I have the Holy Spirit in me. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? Okay, good. Because we need to have that mindset. I have everything I need. I'm ready to go. Okay? The mission is go and make disciples all over the world, baptizing the disciples in the name of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go make disciples and baptize them. Don't just make them and leave them. No, baptize them. Make them feel a part of the body because they are part of the body. That's the fact. And you are cluing them in and drawing them in so they will understand that better, right? I'm part of God's body. And I'm in His church. I'm part of His army. I have things to do. Now you also have to eat and have a place to live and stuff like that. Okay, you have to take care of those things. But the Lord will help you take care of those things if you are helping Him take care of His things, right? It's a mutual admiration society. I'll just use this regular phrase there. But what's the hitch in the deal? It's us. We have to decide. We have been born again. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We have everything we need. There's no reason we can't go. But maybe we won't go. Maybe I'm not going to go. You see, we are the if in the equation. Each of us must decide to go. If we decide we can't trust the Lord and go, then making disciples and baptizing them will no longer matter to us. I'm not going. I don't have to be concerned about that. But you will still be part of the church. You'll still have a testimony. It might not be as good as it could have been because you've decided I'm okay where I'm at. I'm not going. You have to deal with that. After deciding to be born again, you must decide to go. Jesus wants you to go. You are His mouthpiece. You're His hands. You are His vehicle to get the message out there. He wants you to decide to go. Amen? You see, that's the mission. You got saved. You got born again. Now what am I going to do? The mission. The mission isn't coming to church. That's a good place to get recharged, to get ready to go out and do the mission again. But it's not the mission. The mission is going and telling about Jesus and His love and mercy and forgiveness. Amen? Tell how the Lord saved you. What is that? What do we call that? Your testimony. That's what you're going to tell. How I got saved. How good the Lord was to me. They're all a little different, aren't they? But they all have the same wonderful ending. The Lord is with me. He saved me and gave me the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's the end of it, right? No, it's the beginning. See, that's the beginning. Now you're ready to go on the mission. If that didn't happen, then you probably didn't understand the message. So go back and review it, right? If you're having trouble deciding to go, go back and review. Here's the material. Go back and review it. The doing, the work of the mission causes us to change. Yes, the doing will cause us to change because you can't do the worldly things you might otherwise do and serve the Lord as well. You can't do it. Well, why not? Because it'll take away from your testimony. You see, people know you and they see you and they know how you live and what you are and what you claim to be. And if what you're doing and walking in doesn't match up with what you claim to be, they're not going to listen to your testimony. You're going to have no effect. In fact, you might have a negative effect. So that's why you have to be careful about your testimony, right? Am I telling you anything you don't know? No, I'm just reminding you. You know what I'm talking about. So what do we need to do? We need to live like Jesus. We need to live like the Lord. What did He live like? He shared love and mercy and kindness, and He helped people and did things like that, didn't He? He's the ultimate. And we'll never be exactly like Jesus in our doing, but our job is to try to get there and be like that, right? That's our mission. Be like Him. Share salvation. Share redemption. Live like the Lord. You might help influence others to show that they want Jesus. They'll even get saved, and then they'll have the Holy Spirit. And they'll be like you, sharing the fruit of the Spirit. You see, that's what you want to show. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. All those things from the Spirit. That's what we call walking in the Spirit, right? Walk in those things. You might even get to baptize someone someday. How many have ever baptized someone? There's a couple, yeah. You can do it. Why? How can you do it? Well, what's the requirement to be a baptizer? You don't have to be like John the Baptizer and eat dead crickets and stuff like that. I mean, that's not part of it. You have to be born again and walking in the Spirit. And you can baptize people. So if you're ever in a spot where they can't find a preacher and they say, I want to be baptized, no problem. Let's get some water and we'll do it. Who's got a swimming pool we can use? Yeah, that'll work. And that's what you do. Baptize them. You're born again. You have a testimony for the Lord. Go make disciples. Baptize them. You're not making the disciple. You're giving them the message. The Holy Spirit's the one drawing them in. But you are giving the message. How's He going to draw them in if you don't give the message? He's going to create a time and a place for you to meet somebody and tell them about Jesus. But if you get to that place and decide, oh, I don't feel like telling them. I'm going to go over here and have a hamburger and a shake. What's going to happen? They're still going to get saved. The Lord's going to get them with somebody that's going to give them the good news. But there's your reward. Going south. You don't get it. Right? They count. One day they're going to be piled up and a torch is going to be put to them. And we're going to see what's left. All the hay and stubble is going to burn up and only the good stuff is going to be refined into gold and silver and gems. That'll be your reward. So go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Godhead. That's our mission. Go. Jim told us this morning in Bible study about how he got the phone call about his dad. Had to be taken to the hospital. And he was thinking about what he needed to do. And then finally he said, I need to go. So he jumped in his truck and ran over there to the hospital to see his dad. That's what we need to have. That sense of urgency about going for the Lord and sharing the good news. The clock's ticking. He's coming back. Don't you want to hear Him say, well done. Wow, you did a great job of spreading the word. Don't you want to hear that? You got to make it happen. He's given you everything. You have to decide to go. Amen? Make that decision. Then there's the commission. The commission. to perform a specific duty, we have to have teaching and training from our authority who wants us to go. You're in a training session right now. Those of you who went to Bible study this morning, you were in a training session then. We have training sessions at least three nights a week that you can take part in, right? And then we have opportunities to test out how you've been doing in receiving that training. What's the opportunity? Serving. Serving at the farmer's market and a flea market, right? We have opportunities in teaching Sunday school to the kids. We have opportunities in doing things around the church that needs to be done. There's always something that needs to be done, right, Lou? I can think of several things right now. Probably Lou's got even more on his mind. But we can do it. Why do I know that? We have the Spirit of God in us. We can do it. I'm not going to give you the water boy imitation. You can go there on your own. Here's what it says in the scripture in verse 20. This is what you're going to be doing when you go. Teaching them, those out there that need it, teaching them to observe all things that I, Jesus, have commanded you. Teach them the things I've commanded you to teach and to do. And lo, I am with you always. Even if you say, I'm going to be lazy today. I'm going fishing. He's still with you. Still with you. But He loves it when you pick up the challenge and you go. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let it be. That's what He's saying. It'll always be this way. Once you get born again, He's always with you. And if you accept the mission, He's always with you. He wants you to accept it. Because of the agreement of the Godhead, the three in one, right? Because of their agreement, because the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, authorized this action. They said, yes, this is a good thing. This is the plan. This is what needs to be done. They authorized the action. So because of that, the disciples can go with authority, right? You have all the authority that you need to go and do the job. Scripture calls it great authority. So, Revelations 12:11 says this, because our job is to go make more disciples, right? And Revelation 12:11 says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to the death. That is our way of service. That is our commitment. I mean, it's the true commitment. It's not sugar-coated one bit. It's not come to church and sit through a boring sermon and then we'll go have some coffee and cake and, you know, then you can go home and have lunch. And no, it's not that. It's where the rubber meets the road. Yes, that's from the book of Revelation. And yes, they're going through tribulation then. And that's the predicament they're in. But isn't that the rule of life for a servant of God today? I'm living by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony in Him. He saved me. Even though I was a wretched, stinking sinner, He died for me and shed His blood and gave His body. And now I can live forever with Him. That's the testimony. I live by His shed blood and my testimony. I agree. He was real. He was the Son of God. It is true that I'm saved. I'm born again.
Praise the Lord.
That's my part, the testimony. And here's the tough part. They did not love their lives to the death. What does that mean? It means they were willing to die if they had to give the good news that they had. Most places today, especially in the United States of America, we don't have to love their life to the death. We don't have to do that. We don't have to physically die. But we do have to die spiritually sometimes. We do have to die sometimes to our desires and our wants. We have to die to those things to accomplish what the Lord wants us to accomplish for Him. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up? Think of some of the most cherished things you have in your life. Are you willing to give up some of those things to serve the Lord? Because that's the real question. I mean, there's some things you can give up and you'll never miss them. But there's some things that you don't even want to think about giving up. But what if He sent you somewhere where you had to give those things up? Then you have a real decision to make, don't you? You see, this is the formula for success in a believer's life today. This is how a believer defeats the enemy in their life. This should be our testimony every single day, that I am saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and I will die for the Lord if I have to. That's where we should be. After disciples make more disciples, what should they do? What should they do? Testify. Give your testimony. Keep giving it. Testify about the blood of the Lamb and what Jesus has done in your life. Some of us are facing surgeries, or we have a chronic condition that's never going to be cured. We're just going to have to live with it and get by with what the doctors think will help us, right? Some of us are in that condition. But how do we get the victory over those things? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's how we get by. Yes. You see, our life should be about Jesus.
Amen.
Depending on Him for everything. Not just my next meal, but my next breath maybe.
Amen.
I'm depending on Him. By the blood of the word, Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is your testimony? Jesus died and took away my sins, allowing me to live a life of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, I could break out real easy. There's a good spot. Listen, no matter what you face, the Lord will either bring you through it or take you home.
Amen.
Is there a negative in there somewhere? No. He's going to bring you through or take you home. Either way, He's in it with you.
Hallelujah.
How committed to Christ should new disciples be? 100%. They should be willing to not love their life to the death. Because isn't that where you're at? You are willing to give your life to serve the Lord. Because if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to convey that to anybody that's a new believer. You have to be willing yourself to convey that to somebody else. This is where we're going with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to give the good news, even if we have to die to do it. You have examples in the Bible of many people that died. You have examples in Fox's Book of Martyrs of many people who died. You know right now there's people in the world dying because they're testifying to the life of Christ in them. We don't see much of that here. One day it may come. Praise God, it's not here yet, right? But we have to get the attitude that's right with the Lord, so when it does come, we won't be wondering what to do. Should I do this? Should I do that? No, I should live for the Lord. I should testify for Him because He died for me. How committed should you be? You did not love your life to the death. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't He our example? Of course He is. Now, don't just say the Holy Spirit will empower us to do it. Say it like this. As we humble ourselves in meekness to the Holy Spirit, He will give us power to carry out the mission. Because it's not about our strength, it's about His strength. And if we will humble ourselves to His strength, we'll be strong enough to do it. Better start practicing now. Yeah. Start practicing. Give up some little things that'll help you serve the Lord better. You know, pro football teams don't win the Super Bowl because they sit around thinking about it. They're out there working, practicing, getting in shape. Should we be any different? We have a goal more precious than a trophy. That's what dying to self really means. Yielding to the Holy Spirit consistently for God's mission. Finally, there's the authority. We have the mission. We have the commission. Let's talk about the authority. The authority was given to Jesus Christ by the Godhead. All persons of the Godhead agreed that this is what should be done. And it should be done this way. We are not going to go down there and do everything. No, we're going to enlist the help and the testimony of all who believe the message we have, that Jesus is God, who gave His life for us, shed His blood, sacrificed His body. So we have a testimony.
Amen.
And we're going to be used for that. That's how the Lord's going to use us. That's the beginning of it, right? Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, yep, we're going back up the page. Verse 18, He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, He's speaking to His disciples. You might as well picture yourself sitting there with them because you're part of them, right? He spoke and He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth and on earth. I have all the authority that you need to carry out the mission. How do you get that authority? You ask. You ask. You accept His sacrifice of atonement for you and you follow Him and you ask Him to empower you. The authority came from the Godhead and it went to Jesus and Jesus has passed that authority on to us. We have the power of God. We need to learn how to use it, don't we? And use it correctly. We must remember to use the authority of Christ correctly and effectively. We must act humbly and in meekness. That's how you use it. Humbly and in meekness. We humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit. When He calls us, we say, yes, we'll go. We humble ourselves and we are meek. We don't go around bragging, hey, dig me. I'm one of the guys that has the authority of Jesus Christ. Want to see me do a few miracles? No, we don't do that. That never goes over well with the Godhead or with the Lord. And Jesus is not saying here that He is now greater in authority than the Father or the Holy Spirit. No, they're all co-equal. They work together. They fulfill their mission. Do you ever think about it that way? They each had a mission. That's how they're different. They have a different mission. God revealed Himself in the Old Testament. Jesus came and revealed salvation in the New Testament. And He gave the Holy Spirit to empower us to carry out the mission. They all had a mission. They're all fulfilling it. As we speak, it's being fulfilled. How about that? Jesus is saying that the Godhead is in agreement and fully supports the mission given to Christ and the church. See, the mission was first given to Christ. We want everybody in the world to know about what you've done for them. Okay. I'll enlist the help of the church. Everybody that believes and trusts me, they can help. They can get involved too, right? That's what he's saying. They're in agreement and support the mission given to Christ and the church, and they do it in meekness. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, speaks of meekness, serving the Lord in meekness. I'm not going to read the scripture to you. If you want to write it down, I'll give it to you again. Titus 3, verse 1 and 2. And then James, the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13. Also speaks of serving the Lord in meekness and humbleness. How do you get the full strength of the Lord? You give up what puny strength you have. Because you don't have it. You don't have what you need to do this mission. But He has it. And He's given you the Holy Spirit. So you'll always have it. You just have to learn how to use it. Learn how to call on Him, right? Meekness is possessing authority and power, but using it, using them in love and peace for the greatest good of somebody else. Not your greatest good, their greatest good. Because when you do that, what will happen? They will listen to you when you start talking about Jesus. That's how you win them over. You tell them the good news, what Jesus has done for them, and you show them by your actions, and then they're willing to listen. Amen?
Amen.
We have Christ's authority, for He is with us and in us. You realize that? Listen to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14 and verse 20. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. You realize what that's saying? The Godhead dwells in you. You have the authority of the sovereign God of all things. In you. And to use it, all you have to do is humble yourself and meekly do what He asks you to do. No brag, just fact. That's what you do. The power of the Godhead is in us. And we need to learn not only how to use that power in love and meekness, but to use it, period. You see, we don't want to give ourselves up, but that's what we have to do. We have to yield, or you'll never know it. You'll never know that power. And how do you do that? Call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Now, that sounds like a benefit to you, doesn't it? But if you call on the name of the Lord, He's going to empower you to do what He's called you to do. And then you can be a benefit to others. You can be saved and useful to the Lord. Saved to use the Lord's authority. Did you ever think of it that way? The Lord saved me to use His authority and power to further His kingdom. That's what He wants. Do you want that? If you do, then report for duty on the mission. And when you hear that still small voice, say, "Yeah, I got something for you to do." "Yes, Lord." "Tell me." Report for duty and use the authority that the Lord has given us permission to use. Ryan, would you come, please? You see, He has the power and He has given it to us. But we haven't figured out yet quite how to use it effectively. And we need to stop cowering back when we're challenged. We need to speak the name of the Lord and use His power. Amen? So we're going to sing a song. You can make a commitment by coming up here and sitting down and telling the Lord, "I'm going to start doing this, Lord. Show me how to use Your power in humbleness and meekness. And I'll start." That's called commitment. It's not a light thing to do. He'll do it if you ask Him.